story, the scripture is from Genesis 22, and if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open it up. If you have it on your phone, I encourage you to take it out and look it up. This is a hard one, but as I was reflecting and as I was listening to others that are far smarter than I am talk, their comment was that this is probably the pinnacle of beauty in the Old Testament. The way this story is written, what it points to, and what it shares with us is beautiful and hard and beautiful. Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. He said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of its enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Speak, Lord. For we, your servants, are listening. Open our hearts, Lord Jesus, to see you in these words. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive you in these words. Speak to us, Lord. For we are listening. Amen. Welcome to Lent. How about that story, right? Oh my goodness. One of the hardest to read in Scripture. I remember it was not long after my oldest, Ethan, was born. I was actually holding him in my hands when, like Meredith said earlier this week, this Scripture came up as a devotion. It hits different sometimes when you're a parent, doesn't it? What the heck is going on here? Speak to us, Lord. So Lent is upon us, and one of the ancient traditions of Lent is to give something up for Lent. Have you practiced that? Is that something that you do? Have you failed it yet? I haven't yet, thank you, Jesus. I do a little bit better with Lent than I do with my New Year's resolutions most years. Not all that much better. But that part of Lent is built around this idea of a Lenten fast, that you give something up that you like. I gave up French fries. Dang it. And I even feel silly saying that with the content of the message that the Lord has for us today. Because have you thought about this? Like, what in the world does giving up French fries have to do with the work of Jesus on the cross? What does it have to do with the story of Abraham? And like, French fries. Yeah, it is tough. Are you there? Right? It was great. You know, perhaps extra cruel that Valentine's Day was Ash Wednesday, as my wife, who's amazing at this, does. She often blesses our kids, and like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, she asked them all an update on their favorite candy, and we thought we were just wasting time. And then on Valentine's Day, a little box of each of their favorite candy. Yesterday, Ethan handed me his, and I said, "What the?" He said, "Gave up candy for Lent." I was like, "Yeah, I didn't." But I mean, really, what do we do with this, right? I mean, it's a good practice. Don't hear me wrong. I think there's something important about wrestling with a fast, a Lenten fast. I think it's a good thing, right? The whole idea of fasting, right? Whether it be food and like fasting and praying or a Lenten fast, that part of the challenge there is, man, every time I want a French fry, what does it do to say, no, maybe I should pray instead? That's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. The simple things, the tricks, the ways that we can gamify our faith to say, well, I want this, so maybe I'll do this instead. And all of a sudden, something happens, and I'm a little bit more open to seeing God working. Who knew God could use French fries, right? But I also love that. I mean, is there a more feeble attempt at my own holiness, my own sanctification, right? Those are churchy words, that I might become more holy by giving up French fries? Like, how awful of an understanding, but how beautiful of an understanding that, no, it is clearly not us that makes us good. It is Jesus. It is always Jesus. It has always been Jesus that does the hard work. That's what Lent is about. It's about us doing the little things and the small things so that we might open our eyes to see, man, giving up French fries is really hard. Maybe dying for the universe's sins is a little bit harder. Amen? Right? And so I think that part of this is opening ourselves to understanding sacrifice. Because that's what today's lesson is all about, isn't it? About sacrifice. And Lent for us in some small way is about a small sacrifice we can make. But really it's to open our eyes to see the powerful, almighty, magnificent, world-changing sacrifice of Jesus. And it begins today with this gut-wrenching story of Abraham and Isaac. The binding of Isaac. That's how most people throughout history have known this. And it's one of the most beautiful stories. Because for us, we need to understand, and before I get there, it's hard, right? I mean, what kind of God are we dealing with that says to Abraham, go and sacrifice your son? Like, that seems opposite of what we know about God, right? That doesn't seem within the characteristic of who God is. And that's one of the reasons we wrestle with this story. A God who is holy and just and merciful and loving, how could he ask this? And I want to just start with perhaps a harsh word, but a faithful word. Maybe this isn't outside the characteristic of our God. Maybe this is who God is. In the most beautiful, wonderful way we might ever imagine. See, throughout Scripture, Abraham is lifted up as one who is holy, right? The father of our faith in so many ways. And so much of it is because of this story. Because the reality is, and we don't talk about it often, and the readings don't come up too often in our Sunday morning readings, but Abraham, he was kind of a knucklehead. You know that? I mean, there are a lot of stories where Abraham does the exact opposite of what God wants and what we're called to. Right? It makes me feel a little better about myself sometimes. I mean, he was awful in a lot of ways. And yet God used him. And Abraham is lifted up as a champion of our faith because what Abraham does is not his actions, but the beauty of Abraham is that he believed God at his word. That happened in Genesis 12 when God said to Abraham, go and leave everything you know, everything you are, everything you have, leave it all behind and go to the place I'll show you. You ever have to make a big decision and you wrestle with it for weeks and weeks and weeks? It says Abraham believed God and he got up and he went. That's faith. That's why Abraham is lifted up. He believed God's word. And today we hear this message from God. It says in our scripture, it begins by saying, God wanted to test Abraham. You know who didn't know it was a test at the time? Abraham. Like, you've been through some hard things. Wouldn't it have been nice if you would have gotten a memo like right before the shoe dropped? Like, hey, I'm going to test you. Right? Like, wouldn't that have been awesome? Like, Abraham didn't get that. We don't get that memo. And yet the Lord comes to him and says, go and take your son. Well, the chapter right before this, chapter 21, is when Abraham sent Ishmael, his firstborn son, sent him away according to the Lord's wishes. And so Abraham's like, well, which son? He says, your only son. And by this time it meant your only legitimate son, the one you love. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac is the one I'm talking about, is kind of what God is saying there. And it says what? It says, go to the place that I will show you in the land of Moriah. This is where the beauty of this story begins to unfold. Have you heard of Moriah before? Not Carrie. Right? Moriah shows up a number of places in Scripture. And at each place, it's connected to sacrifice. It's here, right, that Abraham and Isaac go to the land of Moriah. Later on in what scripture is it? 2 Samuel 24, King David is in charge. And King David, again, lifted up as wonderful, but he's also a knucklehead. And he's done things that have made God angry, and Israel has done things that made God angry, and there is a plague that has come over the entire nation of Israel. And they're near Moriah. And David, as he's trying to appease God, he's trying to appeal to God, he's trying to worship God and say, Lord, forgive us, we have messed up, let your mercy fall upon us. So David actually purchases a land, builds an altar, and performs a burnt offering sacrifice of a lamb at Mount Moriah. And God's anger is assuaged, and Israel is delivered. It's a land of sacrifice. It shows up later on when David's son, Solomon, in his work with the Lord, decides to build the Lord a house in the land of Moriah. That's where the temple was built. Solomon built the temple in the location where David sacrificed to earn God's forgiveness. Are you following me? You know what comes later? It's the city of Jerusalem. Abraham and Isaac journey to the location where Jerusalem will be held and built. And this is the place where Isaac is bound and is delivered from the sacrifice. Today's Old Testament reading is the foreshadowing of Good Friday. This is Passion Week. This is Holy Week. That's what we're reading today. That all that God has been working started in Genesis 22. It started before that, but for us, it's the clearest depiction and pointing towards what we are coming to at the end of this Lent. There is no other place where Jesus could be crucified than in the land of Moriah. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. It's powerful. This changes the way we read it, doesn't it? There's power here. There's so much more. I wish we had an hour. I'm not going to preach for an hour. I want to preach for an hour because this is so good. I won't preach for an hour. I make those declarations all the time, like we're going to get out early and then we don't. I'm not going to preach for an hour. But I love it. They're walking. And think, put yourself in Abraham's shoes, and they're walking and go. And he has to live with this declaration that you're going to sacrifice your son for 3 days. Pretty connected, isn't it? Carrying the wood, riding a donkey with some other followers. Do you see the connections? This is Holy Week. This is the Passion. Abraham and Isaac have this exchange, this conversation, and verse 8 says, when Isaac says, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. We read it in English and we think, well, we kind of know what that means, but the reality is Hebrew is kind of vague here. And it could mean a variety of different things, and it I think is purposefully ambiguous. The Lord will provide, that part is clear. But it might say, you could read it as, the Lord will provide my son as the lamb. Or you could read it, the Lord will provide a lamb, my son. Do you see the difference? Who's provided in this location for the sacrifice? My son, my firstborn son, my beloved son. the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. It gets even better. You ready for this? Jumping ahead, there's so much going on. Verse 9 is when it gets real. It's at this point that we know that Abraham isn't just kind of going through the motions. Like, Abraham's faith is real. Like, he believes that he is to sacrifice his son. But he also believes, we understand that from various components, that we believe that he also knew that God could raise his son back up. That there was going to be a resurrection of some sort. Because Abraham trusted that God said to him, it's through Isaac that the world's going to change. And so he's not going through the motions. He's not playing. He's not like, ooh, I'm going to do something hard, but not really. I mean, this is real. He grabs the knife and reaches his hand to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. You know what Abraham means? Father of many nations. He said, here I am. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. It says the angel of the Lord. That's the name of this angel. And oftentimes when we see angel in scripture, we think of the winged things, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that here. Angel, the word angel in Hebrew means messenger. Similar to in Greek where we get angelus, Los Angeles, the city of angels. It means messenger. And sometimes it means the wingy things. That's a technical phrase. And sometimes it means someone who has a word to give, a word to deliver. And there are times in Scripture where the angel of the Lord is mentioned that is different than the other times when we hear about the winged messengers of God. In fact, from the second century, Justin the Martyr, one of the earliest church fathers, began to write that we believe, and have plenty of evidence to this, that when we hear about the angel of the Lord, that's different. In fact, we believe, and I want to share with you, that this is probably Jesus. That this is Jesus. This is the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity. Right? Ponder that for a moment. On the mountain of Calvary, Abraham and Isaac there to do a sacrifice on the place that later will be a sacrifice that will obliterate and get rid of a plague that infects everyone. That here in this place, Jesus stops Abraham and says, I got you. I got you. I got it from here. This one's on me. I'll take it from here. Isn't that beautiful? That this sets in motion everything we know and everything we don't know about God's unending love and coming for you. This is Jesus. The one who is the beloved Son, the firstborn Son, the one whom you've cared for. Our Father in heaven didn't spare his life, but gave it up freely for you. Gave it up freely for you. I love that Meredith asked the children this morning, how do you know your family loves you? You don't want to know how God loves you? He loves you so much he didn't spare his son. He gave his son for you. He didn't cry out from heaven, stop, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy. Instead, the word we hear from the cross is, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? Which is really just Psalm 22. This is Lent. This is his sacrifice, that you might know you are loved. In the name of Christ. Amen.